Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
If you travel the rural roads of Marion County, you've probably driven on Johnny Cake Road, across the Dog Bite Bridge, and up the 6% hill, and didn't even know it. Let's learn more about the geographical place names of Marion County and go in depth with A.B. Davis, former Marion County engineer, Knoxville. A.B., you're former Marion County engineer.
Right.
And when were you an engineer?
Well, from 1968 to 1998.
And you've given me a very interesting map, and it's a map unlike maps that most Marion County residents have seen before. It has road designations and locale designations that the rest of us just don't use and probably have never heard before. What is the purpose of this map?
Well, it was made up by engineering staff at the Marion County Engineer's Office to help people that weren't aware of the local name references to locations that were being used on the radio. They were being confused about where they were. The people that knew about the locations immediately knew exactly where in the county they were referring to when they used these local names. So somebody went to a lot of work putting this map together to help new people understand where those locations are.
And if you're with the engineer's office, you are working a different purpose than, say, the 911 addresses. You need to talk more generally sometimes about an area. Let's say that if there needs to be rock put down, you need to talk about a corner or a particular length of road or some other aspect of it that isn't served by traditional addresses, right?
Right. Yeah, if a maintainer operator has a muddy spot and he calls a trucker to bring him a load of rock, and he says, needed about 100 yards west of Dog Bite Bridge. If they both know exactly where that is, it pins it right down. But, you know, just giving him a 911 address, he may not know a number and he might not get the rock in the right location. So there's a lot of those locally used names used in the conversations between maintenance people.
Well, I'm just going to list some of these that are just popping out here on this map of Marion County. Dog Bite Bridge, you mentioned. Another interesting one to me is the Crooked Road, Piggyback Ridge, Germantown, Dallas Cemetery Road, Fox Farm Road, Chrisman Corner, Frog Pond Road. That's an interesting one. Yeah. Where does Frog Pond Road get its name?
Well, I'm not exactly sure on all of these how they originated, but there's just a swampy road up there. It goes down through a bottom area that stands, looks like around year-round wetlands.
That's up north of Lake Red Rock, just below the county border.
Right.
What are some of the ones that are interesting to you?
Well, Flowing Well Bridge up in Red Rock Township is there's a well up there that always bubbled water out the top, kind of an artesian thing, and it got tagged Flowing Well Bridge. A lot of the schoolhouses that existed in the 1800s and early 1900s, clear up to the middle of the century, have a fond name reference to most people that were aware of their location, and they gave a good idea of location just by saying, this way or that way from Washington Schoolhouse or Liberty Schoolhouse or Round Barn east of Melcher. All of those names are recognizable by the maintenance people that maintain the roads by them.
Well, I see Round Barn Road right here just north of Melcher Dallas.
Right. Well, east of Melcher Dallas.
East of Melcher Dallas. Okay. Because there was a Round Barn there.
Yeah, it's a unique structure. There are a few around Iowa, but that's one of the few.
Is it still there?
Yes.
How about Preacher Schrader Road?
Well, there was a guy lived on that road named Schrader, and he was a lay preacher, and he was one of the few guys on that road. Everybody knew who he was, and it got tagged with the name Preacher Schrader Road.
And so the same thing for Johnson Road.
Right. Worky Rowland Road.
Worky Rowland Road. Who's that?
Well, this guy named Worky Rowland lived on that road. He was kind of a local character. Anybody that met him remembered him, and the people that knew where he lived referred to the road as the Worky Rowland Road.
And so that's the road segment. Looks like it's a couple of sections long and south of Knoxville.
It's north of Attica and west.
Well, and some of them make sense here. I presume the old Monroe Dump Road
right.
was by the old Monroe Dump.
That's great.
How about Johnny Cake Road?
I'm not exactly sure how that got its name, but it was referred to that way a long time. And there was a song written about Johnny Cake Road, written by a guy from Bussey. And it was a well-traveled road back when it had the sharp curves and sharp hills. It was fun to ride in a Model A. There were several tickle hills on it.
Tickle hills? What's a tickle hill?
Well, when you go over a hill that's sharp enough, you drop off the other side. It's kind of like a roller coaster ride. It brings the tickle in your stomach right up to your throat.
And so Johnny Cake Road, down by Hamilton, is one of those roads.
Yeah, it ran over, connected to the pavement between Bussey and Hamilton, and came west and connected to Highway 5, just south of South Cedar Creek.
And the song about Johnny Cake Road was just played locally, or did it become more popular?
I don't know that it made very high on the charts, but it was good enough that it was played around here for a while.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with A.B. Davis. Now, what's the Cold Beer Joint Road?
Well, that was a road from T-15 north to a subdivision up there, and there was a guy had a little grocery store there. He had a sign out front that said, Cold Beer. So the guys got to referring to that as a Cold Beer Joint Road.
Because it was a cold beer joint.
Right.
Joint meaning place.
Yeah. Grocery store. It's no longer open, but I'm sure there are maintenance people that still refer to it as that.
The Cold Beer Joint isn't open, or the Cold Beer Joint Road isn't open?
Well, Cold Beer Joint is not open. The road's still there. It connects to a subdivision.
Lakeside Heights.
Right.
Tell me about the Crooked Road. I've been on the Crooked Road.
The Crooked Road was one of the early state roads that connected Melcher, Dallas with Knoxville. And we've counted the curves on that one time, and it was 23 different curves. So it's well named when it's called the Crooked Road.
Well, it is quite crooked. When you're on it for the first time, if somebody hasn't been on it, you can't imagine why somebody would design it like that.
Well, it was designed around property. You know, cutting a road across farm ground was resisted by most farmers, naturally. So they stuck to quarter-quarter lines or section lines, and they go west and south and west and south and finally wind up at Melcher.
And I see Abey's Road here.
Yeah, I resisted naming that, but that was always referred to as the Crozier Road because the guy who owned the farm right north of where I live now was named Crozier, and we always called it the Crozier Road. And when I moved out on an acreage there, across the road from him, most of the employees knew that I lived there, and they referred to it then as Abey's Road.
Now I see Old 14. I didn't know Old 14 existed. There's something I've learned there. Tell me about Old 14.
Well, Old 14 used to come through town, Roach Street, and came straight south, but it crossed English Creek down there at a little old narrow rickety bridge, and so that little segment there is referred to as Old 14.
So Old 14 ran down Roach.
Right.
That's interesting.
Yeah. 14, part of it was paved when I was in high school. The road from Knoxville to Sheraton and from Monroe to Newton were all gravel roads. They were state roads, but they were paved in the middle 50s. Highway 5 and Highway 92, those were paved in about 1932, so they were early crossroads of the county.
Okay, now I see another interesting one here. What is Long Lane?
Well, that's the road that runs from Highway 14 east toward Attica, then curves up into Attica. It's just a long, straight road that was, in the early days, a narrow thing that resembled a lane. And long was an easy adjective to add to the lane characteristics of it. It's so long through there, about 6 or 7 miles.
And it's now G76, a very nice paved road.
Right.
Used to be a long, thin lane.
Right.
Is this Pumpkin Vine?
Yes. Well, that's a road that paralleled a railroad that came into Everest from Oskaloosa. And that railroad was referred to by the railroad people as the Pumpkin Vine because it followed the creek, you know, for elevation of the road. Whenever the creek curved, the railroad curved, and so they called it the Pumpkin Vine Railroad. And now railroad's gone, but the road that paralleled it is still there, and it's Pumpkin Vine Road.
Well, the town's gone, too.
Right. Yep, Everest is gone.
But the Pumpkin Vine Road stays.
It stays with the name, right.
And 6% Hill.
Yeah, that came with a story. A previous county engineer, the rule was you constructed roads with a maximum gradient of 6%. Well, this hill just east of Cedar Creek on the Bussy Stub going south was being reconstructed, and he told the guys build a 6% hill there. Well, it was about impossible to do that. They did the best they could, and he came out and declared that it was 6%. So it's a 6% hill. It's since been reconstructed, and it probably is 6% or less now.
But it wasn't at the time.
No, it wasn't at the time.
Well, what other interesting stories lie in this map you've given me?
Well, there's a lot of history in the schoolhouses and the churches that identify site locations. Every township had a half a dozen schools, and everybody's grandfather or father attended a school. Well, one out south west of Knoxville was called Highland School, and it was on a corner, and there are four windmills on the corner, and one of the former road foremen used to say that there wasn't enough wind to run all four windmills, so they had to take one of them down.
Somebody just made that up, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Is this Yutzi? Is that how you pronounce that?
Yutzi Holler.
Yutzi Holler. I see Hooten Holler. I see Yankee Holler.
Most of them are referring to residents that live in those places, and a lot of them are dead-end roads, and they're the only ones on it. And in southern Marion County, you get winding down a road, it's pretty easy to call it a holler.
Well, I think holler's probably left most people's lexicon. Could you tell us what a holler is?
Well, it's a valley, like this one here referred to as Hooten Holler. That was a name of a family that lived down there. It came off of the high road on the ridge and wound down the hill into the bottom area, close to the drainage areas, and entered what you'd call a holler between two ridges on each side, kind of a valley.
And so you'd convey a lot of information with that. If you'd say, go take some size 3 gravel or whatever you categorize it, so, mm-hmm. or take some half-inch gravel down to Hooten Holler and put it on the road, people would not only know where it was, but they would probably have been there many times before, and they would know how much rock they might need.
Right. Yeah, if they weren't told how much to bring, you know, they'd just say go down there and sprinkle it, from Hooten's house up the hill to where the good gravel starts. Then they'd haul a load, and if they needed more, haul another load.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with A.B. Davis. What other stories exist on this map that you'd like to share?
There's a story in every name. Some of them are in reference to communities or towns or mining camps that no longer exist, like Amsterdam Hill. That's the road that parallels the bike trail southwest of Pella, running down to the dam. There's a school on that road, too, called Amsterdam School. Then you go down the river valley on Howell Bottom Road. There's a Howell pumping station that still exists there, a water pumping station. The Dollar Bridge is another story. We acquired a bridge from the railroad, kind of as a safety valve, a river crossing. We only had a few crossings of the Des Moines River, and when Lake Red Rock filled, it eliminated most of them. We only had Highway 14, and then up at the west county line, there was one, and then over the dam, and that was it. But down below the dam, a couple miles, was an old railroad bridge, and with a little reconstructive connection, we connected that bridge to the roads on either side, and we acquired it from the railroad, and they insisted on having a deed. And the county actually wrote them a check for $1 for that bridge. Iowa law required bridges to be 16-foot minimum width, and that rascal was 15 foot 10 inches. So myself and the county attorney at that time went to the legislature and asked to have a bill passed to specifically allow that bridge to be a legal bridge. And it was a non-controversial bill. And so we poured a concrete deck on it and put two approaches on it, and it continued to serve for quite some time. It's no longer in service.
And when did that go out of service?
When the new bridge was constructed across T-17.
What did T-17 used to be called?
Let's see. The Sinclair Coal Company mine road. Sinclair Coal Company had a big open surface mining mine down there, and the road that T-17 is now was partly a haul road for that coal company from their diggings up to their tipple and their railroad loading location. So a lot of those roads were slightly modified and used on the alignment that they used.
Well, that's a so much more interesting name for a road. What was that road again?
Sinclair Coal Mine Road.
Then T-17. T-17 just doesn't quite cut it in terms of interest.
It doesn't have quite the character ring to it.
So all of our G's and T's and numbered roads likely once had interesting names like that.
Sure, all of them did.
And some of that history is preserved right here on this map.
Yeah, there's a lot of conversation on this. If you explored every name and the origination of why it's called that.
Well, probably some of that knowledge is lost.
Yeah, it's lost to a lot of people. One resource for that kind of information is your local county engineer's office. We've kind of maintained a fetish for history and custom and that kind of thing. Hardly ever throw anything away, so if you're looking for something that's that you might not find somewhere else that sounds like a more logical location, that's a good place to explore. Yeah, I have to give credit to whoever, all the people that put these names on and typed them on and did the work. It's a good job.
But we don't know who that was.
Well, not for sure, but I know the ones that probably were responsible.
Do you want to mention them?
Probably better not.
Okay.
I don't have permission to mention them.
All right. So what can we do to try to preserve this kind of history?
This map is a good start, just to nail it down, and probably some of the same locations through time will acquire a new name reference. One road that we refer to that runs south of Sail Barn was originally, well, when I first knew about it, it was called the Bellamy Road. Then it became the Park Bingley Road because Park Bingley owned land in the Sail Barn at the north end of it, and he had a house up there. So names do change over time, and I'm sure most of these will probably evolve into different name references for locations.
But as long as there are county engineers and secondary roads staff, there's going to be a nomenclature out there that they're using that the rest of us are largely ignorant of.
Possibly, yes. It's their way of knowing exactly where you're talking about in a few words.
Thanks to A.B. Davis for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in-depth, contact KNIA KRLS by sending an email to bobleonard@KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in Marion County is KNIA KRLS.